Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Russell takes a shotgun snap, looks, tosses a little flare pass to Penny. He turns upfield 10, 5, he's in! Touchdown, Seahawks! Rashad Penny, for the second week in a row, has gunpowder burns on his behind. He's fired out of a shotgun.
Oh, it's Monday night, baby. We got that dub at the crib. Y'all know what time it is. 10-2. I don't know what we ranked at now. We'll talk about it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jadeveon Clowney fired up following the Monday night win for the Seahawks over the Vikings, 37-30. That message on Twitter. And before that, you hear Steve Rabel with the call of Rashad Penny's second touchdown. He was over 100 total yards. Chris Carson, 102 yards on the ground, 218 total yards rushing, which makes Russell Wilson's job easier. The defense stifling in that third quarter when everything turned at CenturyLink Field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to head to Seattle now and welcome sports director from KOMO-TV, Mike Ferrari, longtime friend of mine. We've had him on the guest, had him as a guest on the show a bunch. And Mike, you're always telling me that Seattle is one of the best places to watch a football game. So how was it tonight?
It's incredibly loud. I mean, and this place just gets excited. You know, I came into work early today because of a whole another thing with Chris Peterson, the Husky head coach, which I know we'll talk about. I was driving in, and people were already headed to the game around 1 o'clock.
I mean,
they just get excited for this game, and the Seahawks are, you know, people love them, and at the same time during game days they hate them because they make everything so close, and every game is, you know, just right there. It's like a tightrope walk with this team. They're fun to watch, but, man, they do keep you on pins and needles, and people just get into it, and they yell at the top of their lungs, and, you know, it's an experience, and people keep coming. They don't even have to advertise for tickets.
Why do you think that is? Because you're right. They thrive in close situations, but they always find themselves in these close games.
Yeah, and they're not a team that normally lets up. So I think today the human nature, when you go up as big as they were, you kind of take your foot off the gas just a little bit. You know, maybe you start celebrating and feeling really good, like you're dominating, and then here come the Redskins, rather the Vikings, who have pulled off. I'm thinking Cousins with the Redskins. I can't get my team straight. But then here come the Vikings with the, you know, they've been able to have some comebacks, and they, you know, were cool heads, and they were staying right in it, something the Seahawks often do when they come back. So I don't necessarily know if it was that for sure, but for whatever reason, you know, they like to keep things in front of them defensively. Teams can sustain some drives and get down there and score some points and pull closer. It is just kind of a weird thing with this team. They never really blow anybody out of the water, but they're, 9-1 and games decided by 4 points or less, I believe. It's crazy.
218 yards rushing. This team has redefined itself going back to, say, the last 6 weeks of last year. And you and I have talked about this commitment to the run game, but it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do with that power ground attack.
Yeah, and you know the big difference has been Rashad Penny. I mean, he changed his nutrition in year two, and he said he gave up fried foods, McDonald's. Starting eating broccoli and chicken, just kind of committed himself more to being a pro. It took a little while for him to get here. You know, he had some fumbles in that Niners game, but, you know, the coaches stuck with him. Then there was last week in Philadelphia where he really just kind of lit it up and had some big runs. And you have to have that nice 1-2 punch. I mean, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, they had Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin. And to split carries, I mean, Pete even said after the game tonight, he goes, you know, Chris Carson's our starter, but if you ask me who's one or two, I just can't tell you right now. and so the big difference for Penny, I think, has been his health. And, you know, and Carson used to be a finesse runner, and now he's a power runner. I used to really like when they had Mike Davis last year because he seemed to loosen up a defense just by taking these short runs and just hurting, punishing the defense, and that allowed Carson to kind of do his thing. Now it seems like Carson is the Punisher that can break through and kick into speed, while Penny's a guy that if he finds a hole, he's off. And it's a great 1-2 punch. And, I mean, they may ride this thing all the way to a 2-seed and some home field advantage in the playoffs. We'll see what the Saints do, of course.
Yeah, all still up for grabs, which is pretty amazing. And obviously the Saints and Niners play in Week 14. Mike Ferrari with us from Seattle, sports director for KOMO-TV. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Back toward the beginning of the season, I don't remember if it was preseason or early in the year, you and I talked about the receiving core for the Seahawks and that being a major place where they had question marks. So now through 13 weeks with only a month left in the regular season, how would you evaluate this group of guys led by Tyler Lockett?
Drastically improved. How about that? And had you ever heard of Jacob Hollister before? I mean, he was a guy that the Patriots had buried on their roster. He came here, was on practice squad. They had some injuries. They moved him off the practice squad. He has become what Doug Baldwin was in a lot of ways to Russell Wilson. A kind of bailout guy that will come back and he's beginning to trust. Nobody saw this guy on the radar. And the tight end is a big part of their offense. They lost Will Disley again to injury. He got hurt in Cleveland.
Right.
And then Luke Wilson, who's just he's the spirit animal of the entire team. He just gets everybody fired up. Fans love him. You know, he's been out with a hamstring injury and they need him in there as well. But as far as the receivers go, I mean, between Hollister and, you know, Lockett hasn't been totally himself since what happened down in San Francisco with that compartment syndrome that he had in his leg. But Jaren Brown and even David Moore tonight stepping up big with that big 60-yard touchdown. So it's different guys on different nights. And, I mean, can you say enough about Gordon and DK Metcalf? I mean, Metcalf has to hold on to the ball a little
right.
more as he goes. He's getting kind of a little bit as sloppy with it at times. With Josh Gordon, he ends up having, I think you can go back to every reception he's had, and I was doing some newscast tonight, so I was back and forth, have come on third down slant patterns. It's kind of amazing. He's very dependable. Maybe they can use that a little more in some, you know, grander schemes, but he's dependable, and he's a huge guy. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a basketball team. You have your two power forwards and Gordon and DK, you have your little point guard and Lockett, and you got the two kind of guard forwards and Jaren Brown and Moore. And Hollister is just that great six-man coming off the bench, I guess.
You know what? It strikes me, and I've talked about this a little bit on my show this year, the relationship between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and how they are a match made in sports heaven. These two guys fit together like peanut butter and jelly. And you've seen them going back to the beginning when Russ was drafted, what, in the fourth round, but took over as the starter before they broke camp. What is special about their relationship? Because this team has gone through a ton of transition, and yet those two guys spearhead what it means to be a Seahawk.
Yeah, you know, Pete believed in him from the beginning, and I think what Russell Wilson embodies is that you can compete and earn your spot on the Seahawks. They had paid Matt Flynn a lot of money to come in and be what they thought was going to be their starter, and here comes Russell slinging passes in rookie camp, and everybody's like, who is this guy? And then he takes down Matt Flynn in training camp. And then he ends up just having this, you know, positivity index that is off the charts. He thinks a lot like Pete does and just, you know, constantly never getting down. You know, their glasses are half full and half awesome. I think we've said that before. You know, they will not go there. And so they kind of operate on the same wavelength of positivity. They know what to expect from each other, and they never quit. I mean, all the way to the end of every single game. And even when it does end up in a loss or something, they're able to frame it in a positive manner. So they get each other, and Russell was, you know, Pete believed in Russell from the start, and obviously going back the other way, Russell believes in Pete, so that's going to trickle down to the rest of the team.
It's really funny to have the cameras flash first at Coach Carroll and then at Russ, and the way that they're very similar in terms of their mannerisms on the sidelines, how encouraging, how much they're constantly cheering and rooting and talking, and to have Wilson mic'd up on Monday was pretty incredible. I swear, they're like turning into, well, Russ is turning into Pete Carroll in his older age.
I think you're right. Could you imagine Coach Russell Wilson? I mean, that's a possibility. You never know.
For sure.
But, I mean, yeah, they have a lot of the same words and phrases that they use. Very, very similar. It is kind of scary, actually. Russell's a much better dresser, I think, in regards to some things. But Pete can look pretty good in a suit as well. But yeah, I think you're right. But that just is embodied by both of them, and it trickles down to the coordinators and goes from there. You know, so I know previous regimes, you know, maybe there was some negative talk or not the best words used on headsets. I don't hear from people I know that that's the case anymore. It's a very positive everything environment.
Mm. Mike Ferrari with us from Seattle. After the Seahawks win on Monday night against the Vikings and take over first place in the NFC West, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. While I have you, we're talking about coaching. Chris Peterson steps down as the head coach at UW, so the Huskies are moving and replacing him with their defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake. How much of a surprise is this, Mike?
It's a big surprise. I mean, we were just 3 days ago, he was toasting the Apple Cup and another victory over Mike Leach in Washington State. And here you go, Monday morning, he's stepping down as head coach. You know, I think there's a lot of factors involved, and you got to look at guys like Urban Meyer as well as Bob Stoops, who stepped down before the age of 60. I mean, Chris Peterson is 55, and we've been talking about it today. If you were just dealing with football and plays and players and going out and executing, I think Chris Peterson would have stayed on Montlake, which is where the University of Washington is located, until he's 70. But when you combine pandering to teenagers, Twitter, social media, having to keep up on all this stuff, dealing with parents, right, dealing with boosters, dealing with the media, dealing with social media, dealing with everything that comes along with it, it's got to be exhausting. These guys barely have enough time. And I know Chris Peterson is a father to 100-something kids on the football team, but he also has two sons of his own. And he's got a lovely wife, and they got a great family, and, you know, he's financially set. I mean, I think Chris Peterson, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Amy, I think you're very lucky if you're happy in your job.
Sure.
But I think what Chris Peterson was able to do today is probably what about 80% of the people in America would like to do with their jobs. They need to recharge. They want to take some time off. They want to do something different. A lot of people aren't in that position. He is. And so he's been rewarded from this job. He's been at it a long time. And he's not retiring. He's never said retired. But he's going to take a break. And he's going to figure out what he wants to do next. But the guy's a winner. But it was definitely a shocker.
Chris Peterson got there before 2014 season. Pac-12 titles to his credit, as well as a berth in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Yep, in 2016. All right, you can find Mike on Twitter at Mike, KOMO Sports. Seahawks in first place. Washington with some news as well. It's like Seattle's the happening place to be. Mike, thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
You got it, Amy. Always good to talk to you.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.